Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. This is a ministry which brings you the Bible through Hebrew eyes and brings you to the deeper things of God. Because if you thought there were deeper things,
there certainly is.
So come and see. Today we're going to be teaching about what, Danielle?
Isaiah 28.
Exactly, and it's that classic part within it in verse 10 that talks about what? Precept upon?
Precept.
Precept upon?
Precept.
Line upon?
Line.
Line upon?
Line.
Here a little,
there
a little.
Little.
Exactly. That's wrongly translated. We're going to fix these things here. Okay? Good. So let's look at that. It's really, quite frankly, not translated well and even more poorly applied. I'm not pointing fingers. My role is to release the truth in love, to glorify God in the process, edify the saints, and display truth to the world in love. So come and see. Danielle, you've heard that verse before. Now, have you heard it in reference to its use or application as a teaching methodology or a manner of study?
Yes, we're taught to study little by little, step by step.
Yeah. Now, that may be fine for the extreme novice or the raw beginner, for the baby, for the young child. That I don't have a problem with in the main. But beyond that, I emphatically disagree, and the text will clearly. All right, so let's come and look at this very carefully. One must quickly move beyond that to study in a manner and a fashion God expects of his saints who are made in his image and created a little lower than God. Okay? You'll find that in Genesis 1:26-7 and Psalm 8:5 about who you are. Now, first, I'm going to translate that verse literally as we can with the fullest respect to God's language, Hebrew, in which it's written. For command by command, line by line, there a little, let's do it again. Sounds different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For command by command, line by line, there a little. Now, the word translated precept is only translated in many Bibles as precept here. And there's a much better word and more appropriate word for precept, and it's not this word. This word is tzav. It is T-S-A-V, tzav. Now, you've heard of the word mitzvah, which most of you may know if you know Jewish people. You've heard of bar mitzvah, right?
Right.
Bat mitzvah.
Right.
It's what a boy does, or a young lady does, a young woman, a girl, a boy, a girl coming into adulthood, rather. The boy becomes, that's his rite of passage into manhood, the girl into young womanhood, all right? Son of the commandment, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, all right? So the word is for commandment mitzvah. The root of it is tzav, which is the word we have here. Listen to it in Hebrew. Ki tzav latzav, tzav latzav, kav lakav, kav lakav, ze'er sham, ze'er sham. Okay? For command by command, line by line, there a little. Now, contextually, when we look at this in context, it's going to tell you much and hopefully reveal historical error, correct interpretation, and aid us greatly in rightly dividing the word of truth to know the truth that sets us free. All right? I think it's quite important to know it in the original, don't you?
Mm-hmm, I do.
It brings us to a place where the meaning may have been blurred or translated in such a way as to miss the original intent, even if unintentionally. Okay? So I want you to do the same thing. Now, we learned in Learning How to Learn, an earlier tape series, in understanding this text, and one of the things you should do is always read the whole chapter at the very least, and let's go through the verses up to this point in a brief outline, all right? Verse 1 starts out with the word woe, so we know this is something tough going to happen. The Hebrew word is hoy, rhymes with boy, all right? Hoy, woe, all right? This is a woe of impending judgment, all right? This is a woe. A woe of impending judgment on Ephraim. Ephraim is a prominent tribe of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, when you study verses 2 and 4, we're in Isaiah chapter 28. You study verses 2 to 4. You see, the Lord had stated that there's a strong and mighty one who historians later note that this is Assyria. They will come and overcome the crown of pride of the drunkards of Ephraim. Their destruction is sudden, as the first ripe fig before summer, eaten by one who sees it, and while it's in his hand, he eats it up. All right? So what does that mean? Destruction will be sudden in the enemy's hand. All right? So it's prophetic. You come to verses 5 and 6. You have to have a real biblical mind here. And since you have the mind of Christ, this should be no problem for the believer. Verses 5 and 6 start out, in that day, and that's a key word, in that day, actually a phrase, Bayom Hahu, Bayom Hahu. Now the Hebrew term Bayom Hahu means in that day. That deals with the future, the latter days, that eschatological time period, that future prophetic time period of the end of days. All right? So we're moved through the centuries by Isaiah beyond his time period, century after century whiz by us, and we move into that time period where he's seeing in the future and relates verses 5 and 6. All right? Now you come to verses 7, 8, and whoosh, you're suddenly back in Isaiah's time frame. So if we're not asking the right questions of the text, just in brief, we have 15 steps in learning how to learn. We have 6 questions to ask here. And what are those 6 questions? While asking all 15, they're the 5 W's and the H of the text, so you can understand what you're reading and know what God is saying, so you can do what you know. Your 5 W's are who, what, when, where, why, and how. All right? So when we come to, let's just look at the who in Isaiah 28, 7 and 8. As we come toward our main text, you need to study, or else we just take in a text here and a text here and we're built. You can't build a house that way. You have to look in Isaiah 28 and study the text very carefully. All right? So look at verses 7 and 8. All right? Who are the people involved here? All right? And it talks about, and those also reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. Here they come. Here they are. The priest, that's one. And the prophet, that's two. Reel with what? Strong drink. They are, why? They are confused by wine. Stagger from strong drink. They reel while having visions. They totter while rendering judgment. All right? For all their tables are full of filthy vomit, without a single clean space. Now we're just reading it verse by verse, okay? So the point is, who is the who here in verses 7, 8 of Isaiah 28? The prophets and the priests. The prophets
and
the priests. Good. Right. They're confused by what?
Drink.
Their drink, their wine. They stagger from the strong drink. Good. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. There's no clean place. All is dirty, unholy, and sinful. Okay? So, what we have to understand is that these people here, who are the prophets and the priests? These are the spiritual leaders of the land, all right? They rule, they reign, they are the spiritual guiding light, or should be, for the nation, all right? The prophets and the priests. They are being railed at, properly, by God's prophet, Isaiah. They're being told, they're confused. They stagger, they err in vision, they give people wrong vision, wrong information. And they're the leaders, so if the blind leads the blind, they all go into the pit. Yes.
So Isaiah is speaking to these prophets, and he's angry with them because they're drunk?
Isaiah the prophet is talking to the spiritual leaders of the land. He represents God, and they're being called to judgment. Remember at the beginning in verse 1, this is a woe. This is a judgment of impending doom upon Ephraim, the most prominent tribe of the northern kingdom, that Assyria is going to come upon them as a mighty force, and they're going to be crushed. And God is holding these people accountable for their own sin, and it's being brought to their attention what they have done. They've erred in, they've drunk, they've erred in vision. There's not a clean place. They have misled the people. They misrepresent God. That's correct. Now, you come to verse 9, all right? To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Those weaned from milk? Those taken from the breasts? All right, those weaned from milk? Those taken from the breast, Now, verse 9 is very important. If you don't get that, you won't be able to understand the next verse either. Okay? So who, we must know who is speaking here so we can rightly contextually understand the verse 10 to follow. Verse 9 are the prophets and the priests. We were just hearing that Isaiah was speaking to them in verses 7 and 8. All right? Now they're entering back. They're angry. They're angry that Isaiah is speaking to them like they're little children. You're teaching us knowledge. You would teach us. And to whom would he interpret the message? Those weaned from milk? You think we're little babies? Those taken from the breast like we're little infants? We're the spiritual leaders of the land. We rule and we reign here. We're in charge. We know what we're doing. They're angry at Isaiah. They're very angry at him. They are used to ruling and reigning and being in power. Here comes in a singular man, and he challenges them, and he talks to them in a very simple language and way, and they turn to him. So you're talking to us like we're kids, like we're infants, like we're babies. We're not babies. We're the, not only are adults, we're the leaders. We are the spiritual leaders. We're the prophets and the priests of the land. Don't even think to talk to us that way. And they mock him. Verse 10 comes out of their mouth. Listen to 9 and 10 together. To whom, and they're speaking to Isaiah, these prophets and priests that are erring in vision, that are drunk, that is drinking strong drink, and they totter. To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he interpret the message? Those weaned from milk, those taken from the breasts? For command by command, command by command, line by line, line by line, there a little, there a little. They are mocking him in verse 10, people. Verse 10 is in the mouth of the people, the prophets and the priests. They are mocking the prophet for teaching them and talking to them with one command at a time, with one message at a time, like Isaiah is talking to them and teaching babies. They're offended, they're affronted, they are angry, and they rail at him and they mock him. Now, they're lacking sense to comprehend anything more complex than that. There was a famous Jewish commentator who once said that as a mason uses a fault line to assure that the bricks are horizontally aligned, and then he must reset the line for every row of bricks, so must the prophet teach this message one step at a time. But the people, these religious leaders, the prophets and the priests, were furious. They turned on a prophet of God to mock him and his message, but they were unwittingly speaking against God and against God's message. For when they said, for command by command, command by command, line by line, there a little, they mocked God. That's not something to do. So what's God's response? Just keep reading. Keep reading. The next verse, 11, says, indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. So verse 11 is that they who mocked God's message and messenger were then going to be spoken to by another people with stammering lips and another tongue. All right? So we already are saying, wait a minute, this is very different than the way I've heard this being used for study. That's not about, the text is saying they're using this first as a mock back to God's message, God's messenger, to God himself through the prophet, and God's, and they're mocking like you're teaching us like we're kids. Obviously, if this was a method for adults, right? Remember our original thought about this being a method some people use to study, then they wouldn't have had a problem because this would be a method, if you will, for all ages. From K to just to the king. Everybody would learn it the same way, from kindergarten to the king, if you will. That's not. That's the way for the children. So in their wrong, very wrong, sinful state, they were getting a very simple message. Why? Because they were sinful, and that's the most complex they can get. They were offended in false pride and their arrogance. and the haughtiness of the pride that they have walked in and the power position that they've had that they've been using wrongly. So who are you talking to us like little by little, line by line, command by command, line by line, there a little, there a little? You're talking to us like we're kids.
Say it in Hebrew for us.
Ki tzav la tzav, tzav la tzav, kav la kav, kav la kav, se'er sham, se'er sham. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it sounds to some, just the sound of it,
yes,
you know, has its own cadence and rhythm,
yes,
almost like a rhyme,
yes,
okay? And it has its own particular nuances there that are very subtle but very spiritually clear.
Right.
And the point of it is not a method of study. We should not use it as a method of study. It wasn't meant to be a method of study, except, if you will, at best. For little kids, right, Danielle, for infants, for children, learning your A, B, C, and Aleph, Bay, Gimels, and learning as a kid. But you have the heart of God. You have the mind of God. You're to know the ways of God, which we just taught on an earlier teaching. God expects much of you. You're to know the breadth and a length and a height and a depth. Do you see how different this looks now,
yes,
when we
definitely
read it?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
My God. We have to, now just a little more on it, then we'll bring that part together. If we just read the next verse, God says, "He who said to them, here is rest, here is rest, here is rest, give rest or causes rest to the weary, and here is repose, but they would not listen." God said, "My message to you that I gave to you was designated as one of rest and was designed to cause rest, to give you rest, to cause the weary to rest." So God's message was designed as what? One of rest, which was designed to cause the weary to rest. Doesn't Jesus say in the New Testament in Matthew 11:28-30, within that verse series, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest,"
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
Well, God, it's the same message because it's the same God, because Jesus is God, right? Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Jesus is Lord. Amen. God said, "The message I had for you was one of rest, and which was designed to cause the weary to rest. And my message was designed as refreshing." Do you see God's heart?
Yes.
"I want to give the weary rest. I want to give you repose. I want you to relax." But the very telling part at the end of Isaiah 20:12, it said, "But they would not hear." Now, the word "hear" in Hebrew is shama, all right? He heard in the third person. It's often used in the past, shama. But the term "to hear" also means to obey. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Because to hear is to
obey.
Right. And if you obeyed, you must have first
heard.
Exactly. So you hear, you obeyed. But if we didn't obey, we really didn't
hear.
We really didn't hear, did we? You're right.
No.
Okay. In English, it's two words. In Hebrew, it's one. Sometimes we say that to a friend or spouse or child. We say, "Well, it looks like you didn't really hear because I don't see that you did. You obeyed what I told you to do. Did you hear what I said?" See, even if we don't know the Hebrew, we think Hebrew.
Right.
At times, because it's in there, all right? So, meaning at times it comes to the surface, and it should all the time, ideally, if we know His ways. So here, once again, we see the tragic consequences of sin, and we'll do one more verse on that, and then we'll bring that all together. Just read one more. That's what you just have to do. So the word of the Lord to them. It doesn't say the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was to them.
Right.
All right. So the word of the Lord was to them. Tzav la tzav, tzav la tzav, kav la kav, kav la kav, ze'er sham, ze'er sham. Command by command, command by command. Line by line, line by line, there a little, there a little. So the word of the Lord to them, because that's the way they changed it, that was the way the word of the Lord was to them. And look what happened, that they may, in order that, or that they might go, that in order that they might go and fall backward, one, and be broken, two, and trapped, three, and taken, four. Now, that's terrible. You see, God's message to them in their minds and hardened hearts was too simplistic as opposed to simple. They thought of it just as command by command, line by line, there a little, talk in words to a young child, learning as opposed to these self-supposed great prophets and priests, who truly they were not. Unfortunately, they being quite to the contrary to the ideal. They decided not to heed God's plan, not enter his rest, not enter his refreshing. Thus, the series of, to them, seemingly trivial and simplistic commands were turned into a series now of punishments. Okay? They would turn these series of commands, all those commands, when they rejected it, now the punishments come just like that. Because that's the way they set it up for themselves. The punishments are, look, count them, into a series of punishments for where they would go and one fall backward. What does that backward mean again, Danielle Linda?
Future.
Oh, my. It's a prophecy then.
Wow, yeah.
So they would go and fall backward or in the
future.
Exactly, in the future. So they're going to go and fall. Look at the series. Count them with me. For they would go and fall backward is one. They'd be broken.
Two.
They'd be trapped.
Three.
They'd be taken captive.
Four.
Look at that. The sin comes back to us.
Yes.
The prophecies that were given to them one by one, in a manner they'd be able to get it simply and clearly, were summarily rejected. Thus, in like fashion, their punishments were to be one by one, by their own willful choosing and mouth. So then, people, how do we study? We just learned how not to study.
Right.
How do you study? I'm going to suggest our radio series tape that Danielle and I did on learning how to learn. Learning how to learn. Principally, remember 2 Timothy 2:15, all right? Which says to be diligent. Say diligent.
Diligent.
To show yourselves approved to God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly handling, accurately dividing the word of truth. Pray that with the eyes of your heart, you may be able to comprehend, people, what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, Ephesians 3:18. Come and see, come and learn everything, come and learn from the Lord, come to the Lord, who will guide you into all the truth, and the truth that you know is the truth, people, that will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That was a great teaching, Joel. I learned that learning line by line is just not the way to go, because
right.
Then we make the wrong conclusions without reading the whole story.
Right.
So I think I learned how to understand the Bible in a bigger way.
Amen.
Amen.
And what not to do. And if we would have just read the rest of the chapter before and after, we
yes.
would have never got into that error. We would have never used it as a method of study. We
right.
would have been able to have done much more work for God on earth like we're supposed to, bring much more of heaven to earth like we're supposed to, and manifest the kingdom of God on earth like we're supposed to,
right.
as faithful stewards that God gave us the whole world. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of Adam. He said, here's earth, take care of it till I come back. So he believes in us. We should believe in the us he believes in too. And they all said,
Amen.